Hello, welcome to King's Church Bangor Sermon Podcast. We hope and pray that this message helps you in your journey with God and blesses you this week. If you want to find out more about King's Church, then head to our website, kingschurchbangor.org, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more updates.
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the living word, Jesus Christ, who speaks life into our spirits, into our souls. And this morning we pray that you would feed us as we consider your word. Lord, speak to us, challenge us, bring us your life, we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, and good morning to those who are online. It's great to be bringing the Gospel of John, and we're just starting off this morning looking at this passage, John 1, verses 1 to 13. And I don't know what memories that passage evokes in your mind. Maybe it's Christmas, mince pies, candles, carols by candlelight. That's the final passage, the final lesson in the nine lessons and carols. It's like the climax of that. And I love that Lumo Project, which is what we saw there, that DVD. And the Lumo Project has actually filmed the whole of the Gospel of John using the words from John, the whole thing. And to me, it's so crisp, so authentic, filmed in the Middle East. So really recommend that, really recommend the Lumo Project. Last week, Sam introduced us to the Gospel of John, and he introduced us to its writer, John, the disciple and one of Jesus's closest friends. And if you remember, John is writing this book so that you, so that we may believe that Jesus, that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in him. And John, in this book, he introduces some great big themes, and they'll come up again and again as we're going through this book. We can only scratch the surface of some of them this morning, but you'll see them coming up again and again. Things like the word life, light, darkness, being born of God, and others. So we're going to step through this morning. We're going to step through this passage verse by verse, and then we're going to draw some conclusions. So you all ready to go? Okay, we're going to be going at a bit of a speed, so hang on to your seatbelts. So how does John start this book? Well, how does most biographies start? I mean, they usually start with, you know, who the parents were, a little bit about the background and that type of thing. That's how Matthew, Mark and Luke tend to start theirs, maybe a bit of a genealogy thrown in. But that's not where John starts. No, John starts somewhere completely different. In the beginning was the Word. And for Jewish readers and for us Christians, as we read that, our minds are immediately go straight back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. And John is making this statement right at the start. In the beginning, the Word. He's making this statement. And can you imagine, John, this man who's he's looking back at his time with Jesus, thinking, this is the man I shared meals with. This is the man I hiked from one town to another. This is the man I talked to, disputed things with. I rubbed shoulders with him, and I hardly realized this was the creator of the universe. I was rubbing shoulders with the creator of the universe. I wonder how that felt for John. And as we're reading that, let's remember who Jesus is. He's a man, and he is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word didn't begin with the beginning. The Word didn't begin with the beginning. He's not a part of creation. He's not a created being. He's an already existing being. Time began with creation. So when God started to create things and make things and call things into being, the Word was already there, because the Word was there before time, outside of time, and therefore eternal. So we come to the Word who has no beginning. In the beginning was the Word. I wonder why John chose the Word. Now, he could have chosen a number of titles for Jesus, so many. I mean, Emmanuel, the light, the truth. So why does John use this, the Word? And I think, well, part maybe of what John's saying is our God is a communicating God. He's a God who wants to interact with us. And most of you I've spoken to, some of you I haven't. Hopefully I'll get the chance to speak to you if I haven't already. But we get to know somebody by talking to them. And once, maybe even if we've had a few words, that journey of getting to know each other can start and grow. But our God is a communicating God. He speaks. And as we go through this Gospel of John, Jesus reveals himself as the master communicator. We'll hear his stories, we'll hear his parables, we'll see how he interacts with people, how he listens to people, how he responds. This is the real Jesus who wants to interact with us today. Jesus is the embodiment of God's word to us. And it reminds me of the importance of God's word. Jesus said, "Abide in me. Abide in my word." And that's something that we can do. We can take time just to spend time in God's word and let his word become part of us. As we dwell, as we meditate on God's word, we actually draw near to God. If we want to know what God is like, well, Jesus, he is the ultimate word. He's a person. That's why Hebrews chapter 1, the letter to the Hebrews starts in this way, and I think we've got a little screen of this, yes. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. So you've got, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, all these prophets. They spoke to us at many times, and they're in the Old Testament here. We've got them. He spoke to us in various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. This is the Jesus we come to. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is sheer mystery. How can you be with somebody and also be that somebody at the same time? And of course, here we're introduced to the idea of the Trinity. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Only in a Trinitarian way can that be explained, to be God by nature and yet to be a distinct person, being with God. And there's a lovely illustration of this. As we look at this, all things were made through him. There's a lovely illustration of this. And I think maybe this is what the writer of Proverbs was getting at in chapter 8. And this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth. John chapter 8, verse 27. And this is perhaps the testimony of the Son of God, who is God and yet is with God. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundaries so that the water wouldn't transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. I just love that poetic scripture talking about the Father and the Son and the enjoyment they had together in forming and making the earth and bringing life. And that's the same, that Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that fellowship that they have, that virtuous circle, if you like, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which they invite us into. They invite us into that circle that we might fellowship with them. You know, Mark was talking this morning about, as we sing and as we praise his name, about eternal life, but not just eternal life when we go to heaven, as we sometimes say, but life now. We are called to abundant life now. That's what Jesus is calling us to. life. You see, everything around us, it has his stamp on it, his stamp. As Gerald Manley Hopkins put it, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. I love that. The world is charged, like an electricity charge. Everything we see, it is charged with something of Christ because he made it all. He spoke and it came into being. This is God's earth. And yes, it's fallen and things don't go right. And yes, his kingdom is coming and it will ultimately come. But this is God's world. It was made good. And there's something fundamentally, basically, really good about the earth we live in. And that should give us confidence as we go out into the world. It's God's world. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. You know, if everything was created through the word, then doesn't it make sense that he is the one who can bring life, real life to us? And then John equates life and the light and contrasts it with the darkness. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So John is introducing the concept of light and darkness, good and evil. And we know, of course, that darkness cannot overcome light. If we go into a pitch dark room and we light a little candle, the darkness is dispelled. Light overcomes darkness. The life of God, the eternal one, the eternal life, Jesus, comes into the world as light for all mankind. He lights the world and he's continuing to do so, and the darkness won't overcome it. God doesn't want us to be fearful of evil. Yes, we need to be careful. We should shun evil in our lives. But it's not like Star Wars where we're not quite sure whether the dark side is going to win or the light side. You know, we're watching the films and thinking, this doesn't look good at all. But there's no question about the ultimate victory of Jesus. It's a foregone conclusion. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So when we pray in the authority, in the name of Jesus, we should expect God to move, because we're praying not in our own authority, not that we have any authority, but Christ in us, the authority of Jesus. Do you know, I was thinking about this verse, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. It's a bit of a negative way of putting it. You know, the darkness has not overcome it. It's a bit like us in Northern Ireland. You know, you ask somebody, well, how are you? Well, not too bad, not too bad. And really what they might mean is, actually, I'm very good. And I was wondering, I wonder why John put it in this way. Why didn't he just say, you know, and the light overcomes the darkness always? Because that is the truth. And I was thinking, you know, here's John, and he's probably seen most of those he walked with Jesus, in some way martyred. He's seen persecution across the church. He's seen a real battle. And isn't it true in our own lives? There is hardship, there is battle, and for some of us, that's a very real thing as to what's going on in our lives today. So yes, there is this clash, darkness and light, and we see it. We feel it inside, and we see it out in the world. But the good news is that the light will overcome the darkness, and the light does overcome the darkness. There was a man sent by God called John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. So this is John. This is John the Baptist. We're talking about not the writer of the book, but John the Baptist. And he comes as a witness. Now, there's loads of detective programs on at the moment. I don't know who your favorite is. Is it Morse? That's getting a bit old now, isn't it? Lewis, Vera, or some of the old ones, Sherlock, Poirot. By the way, my advice is never live near a detective. The rate of crime just seems to escalate wherever detectives live. I mean, even if Poirot goes on holiday, someone's bound to get murdered. But what are these detectives looking for? They're looking for evidence, and they're looking for a witness, a credible witness who can say what they saw and what they heard. Because if you get a credible witness who can do that, if they saw the crime, and if they're able to testify and say, this is what I saw, this is what I heard, they can nail the case. They can nail the case. And John came as a witness to the light. So saying he wasn't the light, he's pointing to Jesus. And that's what we're called to do in our lives. We are called to be witnesses. We might not all be teachers, we might not all be evangelists, but we're all called to be witnesses. And you know, your experience of God in your life, nobody can refute that. You might not have all the intellectual arguments people will come out with as to why, well, what about this and what about that and what about the other? But you have something real in your relationship with God. And if you've seen God move in your life, you can witness to that. So let's be witnesses to what God has done for us. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Have you ever felt unrecognized? Maybe you've been working on this project in work and you put all this effort into it and somebody else takes the glory. Maybe you've come up with this brilliant idea and your boss or somebody else steals it and puts it forward as their idea. Well, Jesus understands how you feel. I mean, he made all things. He created all things. He comes into the world and they don't even recognize him. I mean, even his own, and that means the Jewish people who have God's word, all the prophets, they didn't recognize him. And that's because there is a spiritual blindness, a veil, a darkness over people's hearts, over their eyes, that they don't see the true light. It is so now, it was so then when Jesus walked the earth, which is why we need to pray and ask God to give revelation to those around us. Because it's not just intellect. There is a spiritual blindness that people have and that we can have. And we need to be continually looking for that fresh revelation of who God is by his Holy Spirit. Now, I love Lego. And when my children were young, I had the great enjoyment of being able to build everything for them. When they said, no, I want to build it. And I was down there building it with them anyway. Did you know every Lego brick has stamped on it the logo Lego? Every brick. And here's Mr. You'll have to bear with me with this little illustration. Here's Mr. Lego Man, right? Now, I imagine Mr. Lego Man can speak. And Mr. Lego Man says, do you know, I don't believe in Lego. To which we would reply, Mr. Lego Man, you don't believe in Lego. Have you not looked at yourself? Every single piece of you says Lego. And do you know, it's a bit like that with us. We are made in God's image. Every one of us, every person on the earth is made in God's image, whether we're old or young, female or male, black or white, or whatever ethnic background, whatever our capability. We are intrinsically of enormous value because stamped on us is the image of God. And he is our creator. And he has the right to be acknowledged as such. To be worshipped as the one who made us and gave us the gift of physical life and offers us life of abundance and eternal life, both in this age and in the age to come. But he doesn't force anybody. He never forces anybody. We all have that choice. So we read, yet to all who did receive him, to those who made that choice, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be born of God. So we started with physical creation and at the beginning with all things being made through him. But now we come to spiritual creation. We can be born of God, the new birth. How good is that? The right to become a child of God, born of him. And this is a message the world needs to hear. We live in an anxious world. We live in the world where people are really struggling with their identity, young and old, thinking, well, who actually am I? And as the world is coming closer together in some ways, but also fragmenting, people are getting a sense of, I have no roots. I don't know where I belong. I don't know who I belong to. I don't know who really I am. And Jesus says, I have come that you might be a child of God. Jesus offers people so much. And in this book, we find the creator, the originator, the one who made all things. And he's saying, come to me and I will show you life. I will give you life. How? By receiving and believing in his name. Now, that's a funny bit of a funny way to put it. Receiving and believing in his name. What does that mean? What does it mean to believe in the name? Well, the name is more than the label. It's actually who the person is. It's their character. So as we believe in and receive Jesus, the name, we're receiving him, the person. We're acknowledging him. And it's a trusting, it's a yielding of allegiance to the ultimate word, the creator God. It's acknowledging of his claims and saying, yes, I'm going to follow him because he is the life. So we return to the purpose of this book, which Sam spoke about last week, and it's found in John 20, verse 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, this book is written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Why receive and believe in Jesus? Why follow him throughout our lives? Because he's the originator, he's our maker. If we are designed and made for him, then it makes sense to follow him, to follow his ways. A washing machine is designed to wash clothes. If I put my plates and crockery in it, I'm going to have a dreadful mess at the end of it. I find that as I align myself with God's ways, I find wholeness and I find life. And if I take my eyes off Jesus, I find my life starts to fragment. We were made for him. He knows what's best for us. And we're called to trust and to obey him. For me, the Christian story is the best story that makes sense of the world that we live in, the interior world that I have, what's going on inside me, that I might understand myself and the struggles I feel within me, and the exterior world, what's going on around me. It makes the best sense. And yes, I've got questions. And there's some things I'm not sure of. But this book, this word of God, makes the best sense to me of what's going on. And in him, in Jesus, I find life. So if the band would like to come up, I just want to sum up with three brief points. This world is God's world. He made it, and it is good. All things were created through him and by him. So let's put our confidence in the maker, in the original designer, in the manufacturer. Sometimes, you know, we can be off looking for other places for life. I felt God say yesterday evening to me, some of us need to hit the reset button. You know, if you've got a computer and you've been using it for a while and it starts to fill up with all these things and can get clogged up, with stuff. And there's actually a button you can push, or it's more than a button, but you can basically hit a reset button. Don't do it, by the way, unless you're really sure of what you're doing, because you'll wipe out loads of memory and stuff. But what you're doing is you're bringing that computer back to its original state. And some of us, maybe our lives have got clogged up with things, clogged up with looking for, yes, I'm following Jesus, but I'm also finding life in all these other things. And Jesus is saying, no, I am the life. I am the life. Look to me first. Look to me first. And some of us need to hit that reset button and say, yes, I'm going to choose you first. And I'm going to put these other things aside. And if you haven't yet started to follow Jesus, I urge you, this is my second point. If you haven't yet started to follow Jesus, I urge you to do so today. You were designed by him and for him. He created you. And yes, there is a cost involved. But he's the true light and he brings life. If you want to start following Jesus today, please speak to me at the end. Speak to someone here that you trust. Don't go away from here without having that conversation. And finally, we are called, like John the Baptist, to be witnesses, to tell others of what we have experienced. So who in your life will you tell this week? Who will you tell this week about Jesus? Who's in your life around you? Maybe it's in work, maybe it's at home, maybe it's that person you've been talking to in the shop down around the corner. Who in your life can you think of that you'll witness? Say something and draw them into a conversation. Let's be looking to God to give us the opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Word, the true light, the life. All things were created by you, and we offer our worship to you today. We offer our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you come amongst us, that you give us the right to become children of God, born of you. Help us to abide in you, to follow you more closely, and to be faithful witnesses to those around us. Amen. So Mark's going to lead us in a time of worship now.